flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's have a go at it.
Yeah, it was a 2-0 night in Memphis as the Memphis Grizzlies on national television finally. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. McMahon?
No, fool.
Give it a little more.
The great one.
Who?
The Rock.
Oh.
McMahon George. I mean, what's going on? I mean, all he does is watch Booker T. This is what you get. This is what you get. Booker T. Finally, that's, you know, the Rock has come back to Memphis, right?
No, I got to give you your weekly five minutes of Rock ball washing.
Booker T.
Go ahead, take all the time
Booker
you need.
T, your man, Booker T, he ain't got the chops like that. He could never have the chops like that. Nobody has chops
bro,
like that.
Bro, I let go of Booker T a long time ago when I became a man. That's what you need to do with The Rock.
Your boy Roman Reigns ain't got the chops either, as much as you keep trying to make that a thing.
As much as you try to make me a wrestling man, I am not.
Well, I mean, you're siding with him?
Not a wrestling guy.
Okay.
I didn't grow up with it, you know?
I don't watch it today. It's on Netflix.
I grew up with it, George, when it was real.
I am an investor.
And you had Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and some real characters.
I am an investor in WWE.
Coco, beware.
I hold stock in TKO Holdings, which is not just WWE. It's UFC as well.
Humble brag, feels like.
Well, it's doing well for me.
It's good. An investment.
Can tell where you got your legs kicked up, it is.
Yeah, that's what I did to Louis Graham. I said, how you like that, Louis?
Inside joke.
How you like that, Louis? Look at these Crocs, Louis.
They'll never, only if Louis was listening would anyone have a clue what you're talking about.
But no, in all seriousness, it was a great night. It was a great night for Memphis basketball overall. Grizzlies get the win over the Houston Rockets. They didn't get swept. They did not get swept. And it was a team effort, right? Team effort. Jaren Jackson had 21 and the ceiling free throws there at the end. Desmond Bane, who has quietly just had a down year. Not a bad year, but for him.
It ain't been down lately. He's coming now. Yeah. But yes. I get you.
He's had some, you know, ebbs and flows. He was fantastic last night, doing pretty much everything for the Grizzlies. What, 24-12 last night for him?
Six assists.
So, you know, kind of doing it all. And again, without John Morant, Houston ain't going anywhere. I mean, they're getting this emergence from Amen Thompson. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have Sengun last night. Clearly, Ime's unlocked a different version of Dylan Brooks. And then my guy, Tari Eason, man. I mean, Tari Eason is a damn good basketball player, and they don't even have Jabari Smith. Right. So when they all, you know, get healthy, it does feel like Memphis and Houston are on a collision course, kind of like this new asteroid that scientists at NASA said they found that's got a 1% chance to hit Earth in 2032.
Yeah.
You know, I think the chances of Houston and the Grizzlies meeting in the playoffs is higher than 1%. Probably, you know, I don't know, 30%, 40%, if I had to guess. Maybe a little higher, I don't know. But it just feels like that could be a win, Jason, for the Grizzlies, where, all right, you finally beat a damn good team.
Yeah.
You know, you're starting to – you can change that narrative and build on that.
Hope so. A lot of that's going to depend on where Ja Morant is, how healthy he is, and sort of what's going on with him, because you're going to reincorporate him, obviously. And hopefully that only makes you better. But you have a situation on your hands, clearly, with your offense, Ja Morant, you know, his health, all of it. So, but yeah, what the Grizzlies, you know, it was Bane and Jaren doing what they've done all year long, and Bane really battling through it, being pros. You know, that's what you know you've gotten those two. And yes, it was encouraging to see when you need it, you do it against a team that you hadn't beaten all season. That said, unless you're blind, right, you have to be concerned about the way Houston's hammered you on the boards. And remember last night, they're doing it without Alperen Şengün, their all-star. And so you have to be asking yourself, John, what could this look like? Or against teams that are as athletic and as big as Houston. I mean, Anthony Davis gives, you know, it's a different type of threat in terms of the numbers of guys that throw at your board. But we know the Lakers and Anthony Davis give you problems. That's what you have to be asking yourself ahead of next Thursday in the trade deadline. Is what we have in-house going to be enough? Or do we need to shore that up? Because we can, you know, we're going to talk about the win, how big it was, hopefully an encouraging thing for the team. We're going to talk about Ja Morant. But let's talk about, too, about how ineffective Zach Edey was in a game last night. Yeah. Where you need a big guy, right, to sort of stem the tide, to curb the way Houston's able to attack the glass. And I want to be clear here. 17 minutes, you know, 5 points, just the 2 rebounds. Listen, I almost feel like Zach Edey is I asked this question before the season. Are we almost putting him in an unfair spot where you're asking this rookie to come in here and be perfect and just be the final piece, and then you're going to take him to the playoffs, and that's going to and this is the thing that's going to get you over the top? That seems like a lot of pressure on the rookie. But what you had to know that we know the Grizzlies knew that with Zach coming in with the way he had played at Purdue. Yes, he's clearly got some things he could bring to this league in terms of from an offensive skill set and maybe be an advantage for us, but we know, too, foot speed, getting up and down the floor in this league, those are going to be challenges for him, right? This is what I'm getting at. I don't feel like paced at number one in the league, albeit turning the ball over a ton, that they're doing everything they can, right, to try to help Zach get incorporated. Some of this is he's got to get caught up, right? That yes, this is just the speed of the league. But you also have to, as an organization, after identifying him as a guy we'll take, right, you have to try to do your best to make it work too. Mm-hmm. And so I was having this conversation with Sane after the off-air after he got out of here. I just don't understand why the Grizzlies can't slow down for Zach Edey for stretches and allow him to possibly be an advantage for you inside, because I think you're going to have to.
Right.
I don't think you can play this number one pace in the league. And again, even more reason to slow it down with the way you're turning it over. And I'm not talking about go to 30th in the league in pace.
Right.
But can you bring it back a little bit to fourth or fifth, just so so that in the times that you've got Zach Edey out there, you're trying to incorporate him. Does that look like half court every trip down? No. But when he's got a backup center on him, it's trying to take advantage of that. And so I would just say that this needs to be, you know, on both sides here. If you're not going to do anything for the deadline, he might be your best answer to some of this, and you've got to get him the best equipped that you can.
Right.
So maybe trying to find that balance is some, again, the time that Zach's out there, maybe you slow it down a little bit. It's hard to ask a team that metrically looks as good as Memphis does offensively, right, to say this is broken, this isn't working, and we're relating it to one guy.
Mm.
But, dude, the pressure's on for him to be a success right now with what you have in that front court.
Yep.
And so are you doing the most you can as an organization to get him up to speed? You don't have to be number one in pace in the league, particularly when you're as bad turning the ball over as Memphis is.
Yep.
Can you slow it down a little bit for Zach Edey and help the brother out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be key to it, too. I mean, because
see if you can take advantage of the advantage that we thought he could be
maximized for sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they're going to try to figure that out. And Because it is. I mean, it's kind of jarring to, you know, you see these ends of games and he's not out there.
It stands out in games. You're getting an out-rebound on the offensive glass 18-9 and you got a 7-4 guy, you know, on the bench that's not really part of that, right? And you feel like, well, maybe, you know, he can't be in this case. Grizzlies obviously made that determination.
The biggest thing I've noticed, excuse me, with the ED, especially in these games against Houston where it isn't just a size difference, it's really an athleticism difference.
Amen was all over. All blocked him a couple times the same play. But to
twice. I was working the radio game last night, watching it. It's right in front of me. I'm like, these guys are just faster than him. It isn't just the foot speed or the mobility on offense. You see it on defense as well. I have no worries about his size and his physicality on the glass. But it's just that these guys get to that ball so much faster.
No question.
And if they keep it up, that's where he's going to get into foul trouble too.
Yeah. Hey, look, he's a rookie, and I expected there to be, you know, some struggles. So it's just a matter of the Grizzlies finding ways to make him effective. I believe
in
him.
Organizationally, though, and it was one of the ones you put it all on him. You put all the eggs in that basket. You did not go out and both. Some of us were saying before the season, do you need that vet? That, okay, you couldn't get Drummond, but can you find something else that could sort of, and you got Jay Huff, but that's not what he is. Know what Jay Huff is. I mean, he's a shooter, he's a reverse dunker, he's an energy guy, but he is not the answer to these athletic woes that George is talking about. So you made that a determination before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he can't do it, John, we can't just chalk it up to, yeah, rookies struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that organizationally would have been the wrong move, again, at a time where you're, Yeah, wide open West, got to be the best you can.
Yeah.
Would definitely call it a mistake that you didn't go in with more than.
Yes. So that was the first leg, right, or one of the two legs of the Memphis Moneyline Parlay, which I don't know if you were able to take advantage of that free money glitch last night, the Donald J. Trump stimulus. I guess you didn't do it.
No, nobody told me.
Nobody told you. You didn't believe, man. You didn't believe. You didn't put it in at Zen Sports. I mean, that's unbelievable that you didn't do that. You know, where is the love, man? You know,
you sound like Trump.
When FanDuel was bankrolling you, I still supported. I still supported FanDuel, right? And look at you.
Out of the game.
Look at you. I mean, you know,
doing just fine.
How you paying for gas?
God will provide.
I mean, you must not have any gas.
God to God me.
You must switch to EV.
It's a lift.
Okay, that was.
It's a blessing.
That was your, you know, that was your gas tank money.
Perspective.
But the second leg, obviously, of the Memphis Moneyline Parlay last night was the Memphis Tigers, the Penny Hardaway Revenge Tour, continuing going down to it was as Ed Scott told us, Neon Light Night.
He was all over that
at Tulane.
I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
He was
when
not.
He said that.
Yeah,
yesterday
he was all over.
He's on top of all their promotions and everything they're going to try to do to beat Memphis.
That's right. And so it was the game for
Ooh, they had the rope out, man. They were ready for the court storm.
Yeah, like they had the instruction manual they had handed out for the thing, the court storming. Like I saw somebody tweeting that they handed Memphis like a
dude. I you were on Field of 68 maybe, but Crispin and those guys talked about how Tulane sent Memphis the basically court storming procedures.
Got it.
And what a mistake they thought that was. How it rubbed Memphis the wrong way, like from what they had heard.
Crazy.
Is that like what are you doing?
That's insane.
You've already said Florida State's the best team on your schedule with all due, and they said Ron said with all due respect to Memphis. And now you're sending them court storming procedures?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you calling it? What?
Now, let's talk about Crispin for just a second while you bring him up. I mean,
he's done many Memphis games this year.
And I think we need to give him some new assignments. I do. I mean, I don't think
that's interesting that you think that.
I don't think he's bad.
I have thoughts on Crispin.
I don't think he's bad. I don't mean that like, oh, this guy's bad. But he is clearly overexposed to Memphis. Like, he's fatigued. When it comes to them and watching them play, and like you could tell, like I thought last night, and
but he's their AAC guy.
He is their AAC guy,
and as the one ranked team in the AAC,
yes,
they're going to be his assignment because ESPN2 is the home. I don't know if you've noticed of your Memphis Tigers this year because they've been ranked. It's just like you know these AP stories. You send AP when you got ranked teams. You don't send AP when you don't.
Yes, you're right. He should. He clearly like I don't know. Like he doesn't want to like accept it or something. Like he doesn't. He just doesn't want to embrace Memphis as the Kingmakers. He kind of like I just found this is my perspective. He was trying to like find the Tulane slant, right? He was like, oh, I think this favors Tulane, or you know, man, this Tulane team is. Whereas like Memphis is winning the game, Memphis is, you know, it just felt like he was not in at all on Memphis basketball last night, which you don't have to be, but it's just it was noticeable to me that he was just not digging Memphis at all. Like he was talking about how chaotic they are and how helter skelter they are. And I know he meant
they
that.
Are, bro.
They are. No, I'm not trying to make it out to seem like they're not. But he was just very.
I mean, in a good way. Like a lot of their best stuff comes out of chaotic and helter skelter, turning teams over.
He was very quick to point all of it out. You know, I thought so. Again, I'm not trying to.
I have a completely different view of him on Memphis this year. I thought he's kept it real for the most part. And I can't remember which game it was, but he's like. Those guys have said it. I want to love Memphis. Mm-hmm. And on the nights where they're turning it over 20 times, I want to tell you he had Wichita State maybe. That was one of them.
Yeah.
But it was like, I can't because they do these things. And guys, we're saying the same thing in here, that the issues rebounding and the issues turning the ball over could come back to bite them. And especially in the games that have been too close for comfort because of those reasons. And when Memphis is doing what it's supposed to do against these AAC teams, I've thought that his tone has been they can beat anybody in the country. That when they're doing, and frankly, I felt like when I've thought Memphis is doing what it's supposed to be doing, he's saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
And is the biggest proponent of Memphis that there is. And why wouldn't he be? He's assigned to the AAC and it's his best team. And, you know, he's going to see Penny Hardaway 3, 5, 6, 7 more times. And it's always better, right, in those conversations with Penny if you've been on and said good things. I thought, for the most part, he's called like it is. Oh, Crispin.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you're always you are that dude that, you know.
I'm trying to find, like, the right way. He just sounds exasperated.
Wouldn't you be tired of seeing Memphis all year long, too? I wish there was a couple more ranked teams in the league.
And that's why he should be put on a different assignment for a while. Like, let's get him off of Memphis. He's too
– I'm fine with that. We get him a lot. But
you know, and I
feels
know,
like we got our own guy.
And I can tell you for a fact that they already have. ESPN, when they play FAU coming up in Memphis, it will not be John Crispin on the call. Okay.
Oh, he's going to have more, bro.
February 23rd will not be John Crispin. I know who it's going to be.
There was another guy this past time. UAB. It was a different guy.
I know it's Kevin Brown and I don't remember who, but it was another white
guy. I know our home is on ESPN2. Have a home on ESPN2 in the Pac-12, John?
We're going to get back to you on that.
I bet, because you don't have anything for me on that, do you?
We're going to get back.
I'm playing Dr. Scott and you're the commish.
We're going to get back to
you. Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, we'll just stay here then ranked and we'll play every night on ESPN2. Don't know if you've seen us. There's not anybody else in the league. They show us every night.
Wouldn't you like to know who?
I mean, that's a pretty good. I mean, that's the one thing about the AAC. Being the lone
they
ranked team in
playing.
The AAC. Your brand's still going to be
no doubt.
Out there
I agree.
And shining.
I agree. Yes. That is the one good redeeming quality.
And that's the one thing about Crispin having all of these games, dude. He knows this team. Because he's gotten this team. And that's why I think, for the most part, he's been accurate on his stuff.
Right.
You know how these guys fly in, you know, do one or two Memphis games and then try to tell you. Now, he's done enough of them that I feel like he's got the pulse. I thought he gets a little cornball sometimes.
Mm.
But other than that, man, I think dude's pretty good.
Now, wouldn't you like to know who is going to be on that call for Memphis FAU in Memphis, since I've already told you that it's not going to be John Crispin?
Well, I'm disappointed, obviously, because you've identified a Crispin fan.
Yes. It's going to be none other than.
You thought I was just going to hate on him like you do him.
Dan Dockage. No, it's not. He doesn't work for ESPN anymore. Y'all silly as hell. It's going to be Randolph Childress.
I saw you reminded us of that in a recent column.
You like that? Yeah. Penny Hardaway is still out here playing coach. You out here on damn Infowars.com looking like a sad sack of crap, Dan. Man out here got a tinfoil hat on every day.
Is anybody around here still bitter? Wow, I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not bitter at all. Yeah. I mean, you reap what you sow, jabroni.
You got, it's like we said about Penny, bro. You got to let it go.
I mean, look,
if you want some peace, you got to let it go.
Oh, I got peace. That man is so irrelevant. He went from having the number one show in Indianapolis, having ESPN college basketball games he was calling. I mean, he really was doing a great job.
Bro, this is Ron Hunter dancing in the first half yesterday. You be careful put some bad juju on our show.
This is the end of the game.
By talking about Dan's, please be careful here.
No, I'm just saying he went from having a real career, right, to now he's, you know, panhandling, basically. If you go from penthouse to the outhouse, it's a short walk. He had to learn that.
We cannot revel in a man's downfall, no matter what that man.
Well, we don't have to. You can just let me.
And particularly because, you know, come on here, ha-ha, and talking about some circumvent.
Yeah, come I mean, on. Man, F dude, bro.
Okay.
I mean.
We're still coping and dealing with it. I have a shiesty mask in the car. Would you like to have it on for the rest of the show?
I mean, no, I'm good, bro. I'm straight.
I'll just mess with you.
But, you know, because Penny Hardaway.
I think it's been kind of sad, dude. Remember?
Oh, it's been totally sad.
I mean,
sad.
In I all seriousness, like, though. Sane put some real stuff out there on the one thing about the jock conversation is we know he said, you know, talked about, mm-hmm. you know, coping with things. And that's the one thing that you and I both know about, Dan, even through all that. He started out talking about the issues he had, right? Sleeping on the couch, the whole stuff. Like, we know he's got that. So,
yeah.
You know, with what he's going through, dude, I just don't want to pile on.
Nah, man, you don't need to pile on. He's going through enough. You're exactly right. He's got to deal with that. I mean, because
I read about him this week in the Daily Memphian. I did.
I don't know what I would do if I went from, you know, I had it all, right? I had it all. I had everything I could ever want, which is the pinnacle of media career, number one radio show, getting big time college basketball assignments on ESPN, to where my behavior and the way that I treat people, right, got me from there to wherever he's at now, broadcast for 8,000 people on X, which most of that is just going to be bot views.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would say you reap what you sow. You know, some people would apply that to this.
Yeah, man, it's a lesson.
Someone's, I mean, it's absolutely you can draw from it.
It's a lesson, bro, because there, I mean, even in this building, like there have been people that that have gotten let go over the years because in so many ways, but also like how they treat people. How you treat people day to day matters, bro. It does. You know, and do you treat people with respect? And do you treat people with kindness? And I think the answer for Dan has always been absolutely not. You know, it's always been really personal with him. And it's no surprise to me that he has basically, you know, isolated himself from any credible media. And he's now, you know, a voice screaming into the void with no real platform. You know, and that's what happens. You know, I mean, you treat people with respect, you treat people with nicely, kindness, like with equality, you know, and good things, probably the universe will tend to reward you. Don't do it expecting it to, but if you just do that about your day, like it's one of the things, Jason, that I'm extremely good at. Like one of the things, like I am so nice to you. You know what I mean? It's like I think it's one of the things you would agree has been the most noticeable thing since we've started the show is just how overwhelmingly kind I am to you specifically. Would you agree with that?
Well, most days.
See?
Yeah.
You know, we all fall short. We all fall short.
Right. Can you continue or do you need a break?
No, I'm good. I guess to bottom line, the Memphis piece, they came out as a 5 seed still today in Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology. They've switched regions, though. They've been moved to the West.
Well, you know he's not real good about all that. It's yeah. not getting the teams.
But he's got them playing Drake as in the 5-12, which again, you know, as 12s go, I'm fine with that. Drake's probably, you know, easily disposable. And then if they win that game, they would then get conceivably Texas A&M, which is a tough matchup in some ways, in others not so much. The other 4 seeds this in this bracketology, just for kicks and giggles, would be Oregon, who is no—I don't know how he still has them as a 4 seed after what happened last night. They lost to Minnesota. They got blown out by UCLA. I don't get it. Wisconsin, I think I'd like to avoid that game. Wisconsin is definitely a bad matchup for Memphis, and then Mississippi State, who I think Memphis would beat in a rematch. To be totally clear, Mississippi State played the game of their season against Memphis, in my opinion, inside FedEx Forum, and I think that matchup would look a lot differently if they got it again. So in this group chat I'm in with, like, Goodman and Randolph, Childress, and a bunch of other college basketball people, John Fanta asks, what's a successful season for Memphis? We're just kind of talking amongst ourselves, and I don't know. I think what you would have said before the season – is just make the tournament. But is that still the same? Do we have the same answer in January?
I don't think you move the goalpost. If you want to not leave anything on the table because of how good we've seen this team be and what we saw in the non-conference, then yes, it's not just getting back to the tournament.
Right.
But you don't move the goalpost because, remember, Memphis was picked number two
right.
in this conference.
Right.
You would be finishing first. You'd be winning the regular season title for the first time. I mean all those things. And so, but no, listen, success making it back to the tournament. Because, again, Penny can then still sell stability 3 out of 4 years. You know, I've really found the formula. And listen, we've heard him having turned over a new leaf. He's talking different and everything. I think a lot of folks would believe it and jump in. The way you get real belief back in, though, the way people really get excited about the program is by doing something you haven't done since 09. Something I think this team is capable of, advancing to a Sweet 16, so long as you get the right draw.
Right.
And that's why, again, John and I spend so much time on seeding. I know exactly. Some of you guys are like, man, it doesn't mean a damn. You said before the season, just make the tournament. The seeding doesn't matter. It does, because we feel like there's more to be gained this year. And that's in terms of really, you know, adding, you know, getting some bang back in your program by being one of the final 16 teams. Again, winning a tournament game in advance of the second one, that's important too. But it feels like there's more that you can get. And I feel even more confident about that when I watch Memphis make the adjustment that is putting Dane Danger, a freaking monster inside in this conference, into the starting lineup. And what have you gotten? You've gotten two straight huge performances from him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, late in that game, when Kobe Rogers is going off, they still took the time to throw it into Dane, who was dominating. And you get a nice little easy bucket off the backdoor cut from Tyrese. That's what we were seeing earlier this season.
Absolutely.
So again, at a place, John, where we were with Wichita State, you're turning the ball over everything else, we're saying we're seeing some bad signs here. Now you're seeing signs of a team that's starting to play its best basketball here as you approach the end of the season. That's the way you want to be pointed. You know, that's why you can feel good for a lot of reasons. But I'd say first and foremost, what Dane Danger and now the, you know, threat that he is to the rest of this league now that you've made that adjustment.
Yep.
You know, I wish it happened sooner, but, yep. You know. It's all good. You're better late than never.
That's right.
And now it's got you looking like one of the best versions of yourself. Not to mention, man, P.J. Carter continues to impress. He's gone from useful to slick valuable.
I think you could take the qualifier out. I think you just say valuable.
I'm almost with you. I'm almost ready to say it.
Because last night, that dude is ready every time.
It was him and Kobe at the end. He is ready every time you've put him out there, and he is shooting well, man, in the little limited time that he's been out there. So last night, I guess, 14 felt like a season high, but he was, you know, that he was just as important as a Haggerty or anybody else out there last night, especially down the stretch, because, again, it was him and Kobe.
Yep.
In that 23-10 run.
Yep.
That put Tulane away.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's you know, it's crazy to think, like,
shout out to role players getting more comfortable in roles.
You know, that's
and getting more and taking advantage of more opportunity.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing that's so crazy about this season, because if you go back to August, when the letter comes across Ed Scott's desk, and when Penny slashes and burns the staff, if you would have told us then, that night, and that week, that Memphis is going to be 17-4, 7-1 in the AAC, and be on pace for a 5 seed, or perhaps maybe even a 4.
I think 4's possible. You just run it.
We would have said, yo, what are you dealing with? Like, is it schizophrenia? Is it, you know, are you manic? Like, what is your mental ailment, and we need to get you some help, right? I mean, it's again, it's a full credit to Penny and that team. Last year's team, and I made this point in my column today. Last year's team, when you made some starting lineup adjustments, I think about the Rice game, right? When Javon Quinterly got benched for Jonathan Pierre,
mm-hmm.
Everybody was bitching, everybody was grumbling, everybody was unhappy, right? Guys weren't playing, guys were playing. It was just a mess. He does it this year. Baraka hasn't played 2 of the last 3 games. It's fine. It's fine. Musa goes to the bench.
Yeah.
Dane comes in. It's fine. Both those guys still giving you stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Musa's still engaged.
Yeah.
That's different. That's different. Penny's pushing the right buttons. These guys are bought in. Being 17-4 probably helps. It's probably one of those chicken and the egg type things. But yeah, man, great night for Memphis basketball. We're going to take a break. We have to pay some bills, right?
Understood.
We got to pay some bills.
You've been doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, I need to
get you some water.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, how do you turn the family?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Last day over at Zen Sports to get your bets in to be eligible to win that grand prize in the VIP Players Club sweepstakes. $10,000 bonus bet on the NFL game in February and $10,000 cash. We're going to have a weekend, fellas, if I win this one. I mean, I might just give Jason $400. You know what I'm saying? Take a gas. Only if I win the grand prize, so trying to get too excited. But I'm going to give you $400 if I get it. Do you accept?
I'll take it.
All right. There we go. We're going to have a day. You can win it, too. All you have to do is bet. You can win entries and earn entries on every bet you place. If you don't win the grand prize, you can win a $1,000 bonus bet on the NFL game or $250 cash. Enter promo code Martin when you sign up. You get 500 bonus entries in addition to the entries that you earn from the value of your bets. Zen Sports betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Yeah, man, if I get that grand prize, $10,000 cash, I'm going to just put it on I'm probably just going to put it on the game, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to just put it on the game.
Everybody says they would give – if you won the lottery, you'd give some to a family. But then when you really win it, you don't end up doing that.
Is that true?
And so I'm sure if you won
people don't break their family off?
Not in the way they probably said they would beforehand if they ever won it.
Interesting.
Said, you talk big, you say, then you'll be set for life if I win. You know, once you get it, it's different. You got to be business. So my guess is you wouldn't give me the $400.
I'll give you $400, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm on the hook for it. I'm legally bound. Yeah. no, I mean I don't know if I win the lottery. Obviously, you really can't tell anybody. That's the thing. It's like you can't disclose that because that's when you start getting hit from everybody. Like all of a sudden, everybody's gonna be trying to be your best friend. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? Like, bro, I met you one time, bro. It was for 30 seconds. Like, what are we doing here? I'm not giving you any money, So I don't know. I think what I would do is I would ask for your wiring instructions, right? If I won the lottery, I would send you a nice amount for CJ. We'd call it for CJ.
That's you're real nice today.
And
I don't know where this
but you
is
wouldn't
coming
you
from.
Wouldn't hear from me again for a while.
Understood.
You know what I mean? I mean, that would just. And I hope you understand.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you don't hold it against me, but I'll probably have to stop doing the show.
We'll be
fine. That's why I wired you the money, though.
You know what? I'm ready.
That's why. But no, I don't play the lottery, really. My mother-in-law does. We never win. But, we still buy the, Mega Millions?
Right. You're helping school systems, right?
That is the justification right. That I tell myself. I'm like, I mean, this put me through school. Hope Scholarship. That's what funds it. Right. So thank you guys for gambling. I hope you all win. I hope you all win out there. Real quick, I wanted to mention this. Did you see Arch Manning? A couple bits of news with Arch Manning, Texas quarterback. One is he just signed a huge NIL deal with Red Bull, multi-million dollar NIL deal with Red Bull. Not surprising, obviously, because he is. Certainly one of the best quarterbacks, we think, of this generation. But he got that NIL deal done with Red Bull. It seems like perhaps $6.6 million is his NIL valuation at On3. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Before he's even, played a full season of college football, the man is worth $7 million.
So, I tell you, his leverage went up when Quinn Ewers basically stunk it up after getting a Dr. Pepper deal. Remember? And so when you're dealing with Red Bull, you already got a starting point. For number one, you were Manning.
Yep.
And then number two, you know, you don't have to be great to be better than Quinn Ewers was this season. In fact, you had everybody clamoring for you.
Yeah.
I guess being the Texas quarterback and this all eventually, you know, coming down the pike, it was always going to be this. That's why you were okay.
Yeah.
With being behind.
No doubt.
You know, because it was always going to be, if he's the Texas quarterback, here's what's going to be on the table. And really, you know, Ewers is helping us do this with the deals that he gets.
Yep.
Because we're going to capitalize on it. I mean, the business of college sports now.
It is crazy.
Wow. Because I can't, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I spent many a Saturday, you know, plugged into a Texas game for a while or whatever else and just wondering, man, you know, how much different would this look like if Arch was there? And why have they waited like this? Why the Manning's been so cool with waiting. This guy's been crowned since he was a kid.
Yeah, I know.
But it's because it was always coming.
And they must really trust that.
They clearly did, bro.
Yeah. And look.
And yours, again, helped them.
Yep.
With how poorly he played. Because now you go, you know, you go to Red Bull. You said, well, what's he get on the Dr. Pepper deal? Give us double.
100%. Because Quinn Ewers sucks. Now, again, I have a bet with his representation that his representation believes he's going first round. I've said he is not going first round. And so what I have bet against that happening.
I mean, the representation, you know, is smart in the sense that this is the year to do it.
Right.
Because the crop is so bad.
But he ain't going first round.
And then Milroe, who was supposed to be, you know, maybe into the first and the third quarterback taken, has been stinking it up. From what I've read, in some of these, you know, looking like anything but ready for the NFL in these, these bowl practices. So, was it Senior Bowl? Isn't that where Hennigan is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all together up there, and he hadn't been looking all that good. So, my point is that, you know, Ewers, who I think is not there, can work himself up in a bad crop, maybe to the back of it.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you're promising him that, then you're cutting yourself, you know, you're spreading yourself thin.
Yes.
Could very easily be Will Levis and slept to the second round.
The other part of this is that, and it's probably related, Arch Manning opens as the Heisman favorite next year, plus 750.
He's a beast. I can't wait to see him.
At ESPN.
Full time.
I don't mind that bet, by the way. Like, I mean, I don't know who else would be out there. I don't know, like, who, like, off the top of my head, like, who are the big returning quarterbacks?
We have a couple. I mean, Drew Allard's going back to Penn State.
Yeah.
Garrett Nussmeier staying at LSU another year.
He could put a number.
Yeah.
He could put a big number.
It's time for Brian Kelly to have the season down mm-hmm. there, to be
yeah,
honest.
Nussmeier is a good look. Oh, Nico.
Yeah.
Nico.
Yeah.
Klubnik's still in college, but I don't see it. Yeah, I think I think Nussmeier might be a pretty good look. He's second, so 8-1. By the way, I think this is true. I got to check it, but we didn't talk about this while we're on the subject of quarterbacks and Quinn Ewers in the draft. We have a new favorite to go number one.
Really?
Yeah. And it's not Cam Ward, obviously. It's Shedeur Sanders.
How did that happen?
Shedeur Sanders has flipped to the favorite. I saw that last night. We haven't talked about it, but he now leads the field. At some spots, I saw some people tweeting about that last night, and I can't pull it up.
Usually, that kind of stuff changes after a press conference from a GM,
right?
Like it did with the Titans that day or whatever,
right? Unless this person was straight up lying on Twitter that because he was talking about trying to bet it, and the sports book canceled the bet because they said the odds were wrong. but I saw that last night because. It got my attention. I'm like, you know, we've been kind of operating on the assumption that it was going to be Cam Ward, but I'm checking on it now. I'm trying to find it, but it could be. I mean, that wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world either. I mean, Shedeur was in the mix for number one.
He was at one point. It seemed like he had kind of fallen out of that. And some even having him dropping down to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Athletic had that one point. I never believed he'd go to six. Somebody's going to trade up and try to get him. He'll go higher, but. Never thought he'd be one. I thought that was kind of done.
All right, so that was completely a lie. Whoever tweeted that,
only thing I can think of for Shedeur.
So it's wrong.
It is that tweet was
okay.
Wrong. It is
okay. Cam Ward is still the favorite.
At BetMGM, it's still
because I had not seen any kind of updates on that. And again, usually the only time that changes is if you get a front office presser or something about what they're going to do in the draft.
Yeah, it's still Cam Ward plus 105.
He's going one.
Yeah, Abdul Carter has taken some steam though. He's plus 180. So. I mean, I don't see it, but at least that's one market that has seen a little bit of action. Jackson Dart actually has the fifth best odds to go number one at 50 to one. I don't know if he's. I don't know what's happened with him. Is he
at this Senior Bowl?
Okay,
thing.
So he's having a good.
That's going off of that. He must be having a good one.
Seth Hennigan.
They were talking about. I think it's the Louisville quarterback too.
I had it
in front of me yesterday. He's looked good. He's got the size and everything else you want.
Yes.
And I guess Hennigan had a fumble the other day after the great start or whatever. But he, for the most part, it sounds like Hennigan's done himself well from his time up there.
Yeah, I mean, again.
And that Milroe has not.
You're probably just trying to be a day two guy at best, you know, if you're Seth Hennigan. You know, I mean, or you get drafted at all.
Day two is a freaking winning the Super Bowl if you were Seth Hennigan.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you talking about?
You're right. Just get drafted.
Yeah.
But at what point do you say, like, I'd rather just pick my destination? You know, like, is it sixth round? Because, like, you have no, you know.
I don't know. In his family, to get drafted, if it's sixth round, I'm going to draft me. But, yeah, maybe seventh late. Maybe at that point you'd prefer to pick your own destination because, you know which teams have got situations.
You want to hear your name called, though.
Where you could battle.
You would rather hear your name called and go to a situation where you know you have no chance to start?
They are a football family. Yeah. I figure definitely hearing name called means something to them, yes. Now, again, maybe you get into seventh, maybe it's different. But remember, Purdy, he's Mr. Irrelevant, right? I mean, so Seth Hennigan would take that all day long, I'm sure, and then tell himself, I can go do that too. Weren't you just comparing the other day Seth Hennigan to Brock Purdy? You were the first person I've ever heard do it.
Well, yeah.
But you were drawing those. He's the first person I've ever heard do it, George.
Because they're unathletic and white. I mean,
and could go late in the draft.
Yes.
I'm trying to help you make that, but it was very thin.
It's not that crazy of a comparison, bro. It's not like the dude at Memphis who said Paxton Lynch is the next Tom Brady, whoever that was. Remember that one? Calkins wrote the column.
So you think Hennigan can have a shot at MVP one day?
Well,
like we've talked
Brock
about Purdy for stretches
of
season. I don't think he's ever going to win one.
But I don't
when
necessarily
they,
mean.
When that offense is humming, he has absolutely been in the conversation previously when they're rolling. I don't believe he should ever win one.
I don't necessarily mean
Hennigan
he could be
not.
An MVP. I just mean he could be mystery relevant and have a career. Like, that's all I'm saying. He's got the
George. Give me your best NFL Hennigan comp.
That's a tough one because
I know.
On one hand, there's
John's going with Brock Purdy.
Right,
so I just want to see.
I'm the man in the arena.
I was gonna say, are we talking like actual like a starter or?
Bro, I want you to pick what you think he is and give me a comp. So I don't think he's gonna pick a starter. But John did.
It's easy to criticize somebody, the man in the arena. That's what Teddy Roosevelt said. You know, it's a lot easier to sit out here and say, I don't know his comp, right? Because
we've never seen anything like
it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I put the comp out there. There it is. It's Brock Purdy. I'll wait. If anybody else wants to join me in the arena.
Well, I've asked George, and we're about to give him a second. You can wait.
All right. I'm ready.
I'm just trying to put together the best – not disrespectful comp of what will probably be a career backup who, when he needs to step in, can get the ball there on time and on target.
Yep.
So.
That was Brock Purdy, by the way.
Yeah, but Brock Purdy also is just playing for Kyle Shanahan, and that kind of makes a lot of quarterbacks
look really good. We don't know who's
Jimmy Garoppolo brought them to a Super Bowl. Just think about that.
No, he did. I mean, you're exactly right. Who's to say that Seth Hennigan won't get drafted to a good situation, though?
Oh, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying he very well could be. But, I mean, if you're putting me on the spot, that in my mind is, I don't know why, the one that's stuck there right now is like a Brian Hoyer, which is not a bad thing. He's had a nice NFL career.
Yeah, I mean, career back.
Hoyer
made some
is
money.
A slinger.
True.
I mean,
that's true.
Seth can sling it, man.
But I like yours better than his.
Dude, Brock Purdy was a third string
guy. Hoyer would throw for 400, bro. We didn't know, because he swung the ball, he didn't care about the picks.
Right.
He'd have
six picks
in the game as well, in a 400-yard game. You know it well.
How about this? How about, here's a good one.
Where can we meet in the middle on this?
Bruce Gradkowski. That's a good one. Bruce Gradkowski. That Seth Hennigan can be Bruce Gradkowski.
No, I've got it.
What you got?
Tim Boyle.
Oh, I don't think he's that bad.
Tim Boyle's been in the league a long time.
Yeah, but I just had to watch him how many games with the Jets in the last two seasons.
Bruce Gradkowski was a sixth-round pick.
how? What's his size?
6'1", 217.
See, Seth's 6'3", 6'4".
Is he that big?
He's 6'3", for sure.
Well, I think, look, can Seth Hennigan go to the NFL and throw five touchdowns and seven picks? Absolutely right. Yes. I mean, but I think, look, if he gets drafted in the right situation, he can have a Brock. I mean, Brock Purdy, there's nothing impressive about him physically. He's not athletic. He's just cerebral. He's, you know, he's cerebral.
Tim Boyle signed as an undrafted free agent in 2018 and has gone on to live with the Packers and has gone on to play for the Lions, Bears, Jets,
he's terrible.
And Dolphins.
He's terrible, dude.
He's good enough to be a lifetime backup
records?
In the league.
Did he break
and
records?
That's what I'm saying. And it's a good life. You just hold a clipboard. You don't get hurt. You know, that it's a good life. That would be a good life for Seth. That is what I feel like an NFL career would look like for Seth Henning. No one is ever going to say, he's our guy coming out of training camp. What they might say is, we can depend on Seth, is what George said. That football IQ, he's a player.
Yeah.
We can throw him in there in a pinch, and you'd be a backup. And that's a good thing in the league if you can do that. Boyle has to be – you have to be able to read defenses and everything else, man, to have that career.
Tim Boyle never even started a full season in college except one at Eastern Kentucky. He didn't break no records.
Boyle is in the league.
Right, and Seth is going to be in the league if he continues to have great practices like
he's not there
he's had
yet.
This week. Bro,
I might have found it a little bit. I was like, you know what? That reminds me.
I think Tim Boyle.
I think Boyle is the closest between both. Yeah, Purdy and you got Hoyer out here.
Mike White.
Is it?
That's wasn't he Dolphins at one point?
Jets, yeah. Dolphins. He's had a nice little backup career. Started a whole lot in college. Closer in size.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really remember Mike White in college that much.
Hey, he played at Western Kentucky.
He put up a lot of numbers in that offense. I mean. Look, my track record with projecting NFL quarterbacks is bad. I mean, I had Paxton Lynch being one of the greats. Okay, so I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna hitch my wagon to Seth Henigan. I'm just saying though, like you could see the trajectory of a Brock Purdy in that he's not.